Thank you for starting on such a joyful note. Hello, good morning, beautiful ones. It's so lovely to share this space and this time and this sacred, very sacred time together. Winter solstice, as you know, is coming on Tuesday, and it's our very longest night and very shortest day. And so it's that moment of celebrating the commingling of darkness and light, and time of incredible gratitude for the darkness and all that comes out of it, which is sometimes struggle, and for the light that we always all look forward to and have looked forward through throughout time, eternal, that promise of the return of light and illumination. So it is a holy time across the globe. Again, throughout time immortal, people have been celebrating the coming back of the sun through lantern festivals and Christmas and Hanukkah and all sorts of celebrations. It's also the winter solstice known as the soul of the sunbeam. And I love to think of it that way, as being in the soul of the sunbeam. Our eyes, not only have we always been sun watchers, we've always been waiting for the time to grow, for the time to move our homes, plant our gardens. Our eyes, and sometimes we forget this, our eyes are made for light. And so that's what we're always seeing and looking for, and what they're made of. The power of light. I remember, you know, I do go into the sweat lodge fairly often, and it's a little hut covered with blankets, and it's completely dark inside. It's like a womb. That's sort of my church. And it's so funny, because they'll inevitably be like a little weensy place, like this big, where a blanket isn't, you know, flush with the earth or something. And the light, just in that tiny little speck of light, will just penetrate the darkness. And I'm always just so amazed. It's like that one star, which is huge and weensy, in the whole entire galaxy in the night that illuminates the whole sky. So beginning with that incredible celebration power of light growing again, coming on Tuesday night, Wednesday, we often do what we call a New Year's resolutions, where we let go of all the horrible patterns we've created, if we can. And it's that time for clarity, for how am I going to live my life now, this year, this coming of the light? How am I going to bring joy to children or to the elderly? How am I going to share myself? It's time to burn candles, to give each other warmth and food. And again, time for festival. And the difficult thing right now in the time we're sharing on this planet is that it's kind of requiring an absolutely full and total transformation of us on every level, which feels a little daunting, I'm sure, to all of us sometimes. But we really have to acquire a whole new vocabulary, a whole new language, and to bring things back into balance, because they've been pretty whacked out of balance. And to, you know, to reclaim what's right for all of us. So to get us toward that transformation, I wanted to share a beautiful moment in time I've had recently, an epiphany in France. I was just in Provence. I'm just back this week with my husband. And we went to this amazing little village called Moustier-Saint-Marie. And it's a little village perched up in the cliffs. And, you know, they're all the little old stone cobblestone pathways and no cars in this beautiful little village. And the water, their waterfalls falling down through the village, collecting in little stone wells with spouts for people to get spring water. It's just gorgeous. And then there's this chapel up in the cliffs, and you have to walk this intense, you know, almost straight up path up the side of this cliff to get to the chapel. And there are these stone walls, you know, like chest high, that are mortared. And, you know, off the bat, you're just humbled. It's like, how in the 8th century, you know, 12th century, 14th century, it goes on, did people build a stone path with a wall on the ledge of the cliffs and then build a chapel on the precipice with beautiful arches and stained glass windows, you know, and the absolute faith, like penetrating faith that it would take to create something like that. And then, you know, you sit and you imagine, like, who did this? Were they slaves? Were they, you know, men of faith, women of faith? You know, there's no record of who did this, who built this. And then why did they build it on the ledge of the precipice when they could have built it in the valley by the river? But, you know, you get up there and you realize, of course, why, because we're all trying to attain that amazing God space and give to the God creator in that biggest way. So I arrived at this chapel and breathtaking views of the lavender fields and the olive groves, you know, and Provence, the charm of it all, and the red tile rooftops below. And I went in the chapel, and it was like I had entered the dark womb of the mother. You know, there were just dim light and all stone, and there was a rose window at the top. And I stood in the center of this chapel, and I just poured out this song. It goes, one of the sacred songs. L'eau de la mer est sacrée, le sang de mon corps est sacré, l'eau et le sang sont la vie. Que vive la vie. La 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 la. That means the water of the sea is sacred. This the blood of my body is sacred. Water and blood are sacred, and so life lives life. And so here I was in this place of the sacred water and the sacred blood, and the song, the vibrations, it was like being in the most intense echo chamber I've ever experienced. It was like I was in the pulsing heart of the mother. And then this other song came right out. It goes, Diosa, querida mariposa, tú eres Diosa, querida poderosa, mujer luminosa, guía de la danza, con fuerza de obsidiana. Diosa, Diosa, querida mariposa, goddess, butterfly warrior goddess, you are the luminous woman, guide of the dance of life, in with your force from the black night. It's a song we sing at Moondance. But I, you know, immediately was in that natural transformation is totally natural. I mean, you watch a caterpillar go into a cocoon and turn liquefy, absolutely liquefy, turn into cosmic boo and goo and come out with wings. And the same thing happens to us. We are seeds and sperm commingling, and we turn into cosmic goo, and we grow organs and limbs, and we come out human beings alive. So hopefully transformation, you can feel that inside of you, is not some crazy, far off and natural thing. So here I was in this most beautiful womb chapel, and I had this incredible urge to pray, but I couldn't face the altar. The altar was super dark, and I had to turn to the portal of light, the birthing canal, to make my prayer. And I didn't know this. My husband told me when we left that while I was singing, there was actually a monk at the altar in his dark robe, on his knees in prostration. But I had sort of very symbolically turned my back to those old Christian ways and toward the womb mother, the creator of all life, you know, no matter the human drama or intentions. And this was kind of my epiphany. Every single chapel ever made was made for the womb, for the mother of creation. And so it is meant for us to reclaim that miraculous gift to the mother, the creator of all life. And it's easy to remember because almost every chapel is named Notre Dame, our mother. The chapel I was in was named Notre Dame de Beauvoir, Our Lady of Beauvoir. So in my prayer, facing the light, I just poured out a prayer of language transformed from fathers and sons and wrathful gods to mothers and daughters and loving goddesses. Our mother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy queendom come, thy will be done. May the body and blood of our mother earth be amongst us and remain with us. Earth mother, we confess that we have taken without giving back, that we have been unkind in thought, word, and deed, that we have not loved our neighbors or the future generations as ourselves. For thine is the sacred, the abundant, the all-encompassing beauty of life forever and ever. No kingdoms and power and glory and wrath of God, no huge paintings of men beheaded with arrows and spears in them, hanging from crosses in utter brutality. What if, you know, what if it wasn't the Almighty God who won or judged? What if it wasn't a dominant colonizing dogma, but the creative life force itself? And I realized we have been robbed of that creative life source of the Great Mother. That's in all of us. We were all born from the Virgin. Virgin, the Latin root of virgin means a strong, it means strength, force, and skill. It doesn't mean sexually chaste. It means women who were free, not owned by anyone, but all life born. We were all born. To give birth is an automatic showing of strength and force and skill of the mother. So I think what has become of me and us being raised in a language of ownership, of dominion, how have I taken on this language against my own knowing or against my own body, the mother body? How have I robbed my being of all nature? So I walked out of the chapel, feeling this gorgeous offering in the mother womb. And I just wanted to get on my knees and sob, like, you know, that moment where you want to go outside and like belly sob on the ground. And I didn't because I was embarrassed, a tourist, you know, that would have really made a scene. But I just kind of had my little tears trickling down, and I went out to the ledge and looked out over all the vast countryside and lavender glowing in the sunshine. So I realized we're all meant to reclaim that holy sacred womb place that we're all born from. So I was on a beautiful walk the next day. This is a funny little addition. And I happened upon a bench where there was a woman, and she reminds me of you, just your joyful energy. She had this pink furry coat on, and she had a little 6-month-old puppy dog, or 3-month or something. And she was singing, just singing out onto the landscape. And, you know, I said, "Hey, bonjour," you know, we start talking. And I told her that my experience at the chapel. And she said, "Oh, mais oui, you are very sensitive. You know, that the legend is before that chapel was there was a temple for Isis." And, you know, Isis being that healer, bringer of gifts to humanity, balancing of the male and female energies. And, you know, I also then realized how much the ancient past is already there for us. No matter how far down it's buried, it's still in the Mother Earth. We can still find it. We can still hear it. We can still feel it in our bones. We do. It makes my skin rise. So we can also reclaim that ancient past, that language. What if we had this language based on wonder and commonality, instead of based on ownership and money and consumerism? What if we really could just be agents, be medicine for the mother, for Earth Mother, rather than slaves to industry? And, you know, just a reminder, they did a recent study of how much we are victims of consumerism and how much it's enslaved us. All of us, really. All people pretty much could name 1,000 corporate logos. That's a common thing, but could only name 10 plants, the Christmas tree being one of them, one of the plants. I mean, just if you just take that in for a moment, and realize how much we're defined by corporations and not by the beauty of all living things. How can we change that? And so one of my gurus, her name is Robin Kimmerer. She wrote the book Braiding Sweet Grass, which I highly recommend. She was being interviewed by this very, very New York City woman who confessed during the interview. She was kind of almost mocking Robin without meaning to. She's like, "Well, okay, so I went out to my own garden and I tried to go and think a flower. And I just felt so silly. And I felt so self-conscious." And you know, Robin Kimmerer, who's native, where you're taught always to give back and care for all life forms culturally, you are. She said, "Well, of course you are." She had such a generous reply. She said, "Of course you are. There's nothing in our culture that teaches us this practice, that plants are our most essential teachers. That, and you think about how every plant teaches us how it turns air to light and oxygen. And every single breath you inhale is a gift from a plant. And then the plant exhale, carbon dioxide, is a gift to all of its family plants around it, all life around it. So that just seems like such an obvious thing. And we all probably feel a little bit of that inside, like, okay, I think I'm going to go thank that tree in my garden. Don't tell anybody. But so what I'd like to do right now is go into a really beautiful meditation and try to maybe bring us all to that point of maybe what we're going to how we're going to manifest, transform, live our lives anew. And so it's going to be a little bit long, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes. So you want to make sure you have a nice little spot and maybe got your feet on the ground. And then I'm going to give you all a piece of Earth Mother to hold in your hands. Okay, so go ahead and close your eyes. The shortest day and the longest night has arrived. The turning point. The planets, the stars, the light and dark are aligned so that we can be too. Go into the temple, the mother womb, and sit. Join me in stillness. Give thanks for your breath, breathing in vitality, creativity, inspiration. Feel your belly expand. Feel the bottom of your feet pulling you down through cold stones into the center of Mother Earth. Feel her drawing toxicity from our bodies, misalignments from our beings. Give her your fears, your pain, your perceived disconnections. Let her take anything that no longer serves you. Let her pull from your muscles, your bones. Let her mulch you. Turn you to fertile soil. Rest. Allow. Release. Now turn to the light high above us. In the center of the universe, a sparkle at the center of Source. Let it capture your attention as you're rooted in the earth and the darkness. Imagine the sparkle growing in its glow like the rising sun in the early morning. Let that fractal light of radiant hues envelop your whole body in a cocoon of protection. Draw light around you and let it descend from your crown through the top of your head. Let it bring peace, clarity, harmony. See your path clearly. Hear the whispering. Feel the ability to speak with kindness and care. Glowing in the center of your heart space, sparkling, expand. Feel all that light inside you turning into love. Love the messy lives we've lived. Love the ups and downs, the choices, expansive, contractive. Feel your center of knowing, your gut instinct, your will to make the world more harmonious, more loving. See which way to go, what to do, and when. Feel that knowing travel all the way down your body into the center of the Earth Mother. Plant seeds there for your deepest longing. Seeds that benefit all beings in fertile soil. Ready to sprout this coming year. Feel yourself open, free, loved, healed. Feel yourself as light medicine for the earth. And allow yourself to sit and dream of what you wish to come. So you can open your eyes whenever you're ready. I've started burning some copal, and we can end this way with, this is just a beautiful resin from a tree that we use in ceremony. I'm gonna go ahead and put it on the coals. And if you don't care for this, the blessing of the copal, if it's too smoky for you, you can just let me know. Otherwise, I have a beautiful owl feather that I can pull some copal around you as a blessing. Thank you so much. Happy Christmas and New Year and winter solstice. Mateyats.